Hello, this is Ken, your podcast preacher. Welcome back to my podcast, Deep Waters. This podcast is brought to you by Applied Strengths Ministry, where we believe working together in our strengths is the effect of working out the will and calling of God in and through our lives. The title of this message is Thumb Under. Well, so I think I should inform you that there will be a lot of scriptural references in this message. Normally, I include the scripture in the message so that you have some context and support of the message. However, in this message, it has developed quite interestingly in that a particular paragraph might contain five or more scriptural references. But if I were to stop to read each scripture, we would totally lose the paragraph. So it is intended that in this message that you will look up the scriptures to see what I am saying, and that it is fully supported from the Bible. Why, Ken, is this so important? Well, in this case, it is because as you look up the scriptural references, I believe that you will be stirred to look up similar scriptures, and in doing so, there will be a release or impartation into your spirit whereby you will believe and act on the supernatural power that God has given you. We are to be supernatural Christians turning the world, our own little world if that helps, upside down. You should have a reputation of operating in love, serving, and preaching the gospel in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20, Romans 15:18-19, Matthew 22:29, and 9:8. But we will transition from discussing the power of God that you may have and operate in, or not, and in truth, probably not, and then transition to staying away from getting under someone else's power, i.e. ending up under their thumb. Let's go. I think it's probably about time that we understand as Christians, that is authentically born-again Christians, and not those who just think that they are because they say they are, but have no evidence of actually being converted, that we begin to see how high God has lifted us up over the things of this world. Let me first say that I'm not talking about him making us better than them. What I'm talking about is the authority that comes with our position. It is like a policeman who has the authority to shoot you, but chooses not to, and of course it depends on the situation. Same as a Christian who has the authority to do or say things, but chooses not to, and that authority, which of course depends on the situation. Regardless of what you think of them, that is the police, and I highly respect them and give them many props for the things they do, including putting their life on the line for some very ungrateful people, but they're also stupid and stupid people exist, and they always will. But for the cop that does this job and withdraws his gun in your cooperation, that is a person who, although has the authority to take you out, decided not to, and he decided not to because of what's in his heart and not what's in his training. Or not what's even in his thinking, but what's in his heart. We know that some people think that we should defund the police, which is about as stupid as jumping off a cliff, hoping that you'll grow wings out of your back so that you don't splat on the ground. Okay, so we have been given the Holy Spirit, and if you don't believe it or receive him, then you have no ammo to fight this war in the Christian nation. Now, but so be it if you reject the very thing that operates by the authority given him by Jesus. Then you will lose battles that you've already lost. Now, but for those of you who believe the whole Bible, and not urban legends or fantasy stories, then you'll understand that God gave us the Holy Spirit, who will be with us forever, to cooperate with us now and for all of eternity. Now, what do you think you can do when you have the power of the Holy Spirit and God working in you? I'm assuming that you are a mature Christian, not just wanting to use the power like Bruce did in the movie Almighty Bruce, played by Jim Carrey. Now, when he first got the power of God, notice how he used that power. He did little ridiculous things that were more entertaining to him than helping anyone. He did those things in the beginning, but in maturing in the things of God, he eventually got on the right path. So now we who have the Holy Spirit can cast out demons, but those who do not have the Holy Spirit or who have rejected him cannot cast out demons. They are subject to and swayed according to whatever the demon wants, because those who meet that criteria are powerless against that power. Therefore, they are subject to do whatever the devil wants to do through them. They, in essence, are under his power. But as Christians, God gave us the authority and the power to trample over them. Luke 10:19. God's authority simply means that we have permission to use the power of God against demons and every evil thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. God's power shut the lion's mouth in Daniel's den. Daniel 6:4-28. God kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from burning. Daniel chapter 3. God's power empowered Samson to split the jaw of a lion. Judges 14:5-6. To bring down the house and destroy those who were against God's house. Judges 16:28-30. God's power brought to life a dead stick. Numbers chapter 17. Split the ocean 5,000 people wide, drying up the ground so that it would be walkable. Exodus 14:19-31. Held back the Jordan River. Joshua chapter 3. God's power shook them out and tore the temple. Matthew 27:51-53. Placed Jesus on the cross. Mark 15:13-25. God's power is all-consuming. There is nothing equal to it. Nothing. These are but a small little few of the examples of God's power and all the stories coming from the Bible. How did Jesus pass through the angry mob? But by God's power. John 8:59. Or but what about Philip, who was not? Acts 8:26-40. There are literally trillions upon trillions of examples of the power of God and of those who have been given the authority to use it the same way Jesus did. Why, even your birth is but by the power of God. So now with that kind of power placed in the wrong hands, we, or they, could and do think that they are going to use it for themselves. Or they might say, who can I hurt? Or who can I harm? What can I do to destroy the work of God? Now, but if we ran into that kind of error, I don't know that God would allow it. But also, I don't know that he would stop it. We have examples of both where he stopped bad things and allowed them. So, but now if we get on the other side of it and we think, okay, I'm an authentically born-again Christian walking humbly in relationship with God, obeying his every word, then we will be able to do all things crazy supernaturally. Look, Peter's shadow healed people. Acts 5:14-15. Paul's apron healed people. Acts 19:11-12. Unusual signs and wonders happened at the hands of Stephen. Acts 6:8. Philip was baptizing a man in a puddle. Next thing you know, he was in one place and then the next. And Google couldn't even track him fast enough. Acts 8:26-40. Chariots of fire came from heaven and took Elijah away. 2 Kings 2:9-12. Enoch didn't die. He escaped death, not through resurrection like Jesus, but simply because God took him. Genesis 5:21-24. I can't say enough about that power, and I don't understand why God gave it to us sinful men who very much are inclined to satisfy our own evil desires and appetites. I just don't know how this works without us destroying everything that he ever created. And but yet and through, we will destroy everything that he created for us regarding earth. But we who are authentically born again will do some good in the midst of this ongoing destruction. So we understand the authentically born again Christian experiences a change of heart, or well, rather, receives a new one. Ezekiel 11:19-20. He becomes a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things that were in the past were made in the past, and everything has become new. Revelation 21:5. His mind is renewed. Romans 12:2. His mind is in Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. He is seated in Christ right now in the heavenly places. Ephesians 2:4-7. He has made us a different person. Ephesians 4:20-24. We are no longer of this world. John 17:16. No longer subject to the sway of the devil. 1 John 5:19. So now what do we do? Now that we've been given this power. Now that we've been set free. Galatians 5:1 and Romans 6:22. We can be pure. Matthew 5:8. We can be sinless. John 5:14, 8:11, and 1 John 3:3-10. We can be holy. Romans 12:1, 1 Corinthians 7:14, Ephesians 1:13, and 5:27. We should be practicing righteousness and can be righteous. Matthew 5:6, Luke 1:7-5, 1 John 3:7, and 10. We can be blameless. 1 Corinthians 1:8. Philippians 2:15, 1 Thessalonians 3:13, and 5:23. And wowsy, hopefully we hit all of those marks. Now, but in the process of that, the question remains, what do we do with the power? Do we wait until we've achieved all of that stuff by the hand of God? Because we cannot do it on our own. It is the power of God that enables us to become those things. For no man can do it apart from God and the saving grace of Jesus. Do we begin the work that God has assigned us, as God is working in us and expects us, that all along the journey, he will use us supernaturally, either in the fivefold ministry and or as lay ministers, helping the church move along? Ephesians 4:11-16. You see, each of us has been given at least one spiritual gift, and some, many others. Paul had three offices he operated in, 2 Timothy 1:11, along with many, if not all, of the supernatural gifts available. 1 Corinthians 12:3-13, 28, 29 and Romans 12:6-8. We should understand that we have the power. We have in our hand the heavenly red button, and we can use it to do exactly what Jesus did on this earth and greater works than those. John 14:12. That is why he gave us the Holy Spirit, so that we are to repeat his life after he ascended into heaven. John 14:12-17. We can set people free of things that bind them and their minds up, like a paradise slug round and in between your toes. Galatians 5:1. Nothing else on this planet can set them free. No amount of non-God-fearing nor believing psychologists can set a person free from demons, unless they truly are authentically born again. There is not a stack of pills, drugs, electricity, or lobotomies that can free someone from the ravages of sin. Sin is a crazy glue of life, and when you are wrapped up in it without remorse or conviction, then you ought to know that there is nothing that can break that bond. Except Jesus, of course. I say again that unless a psychologist is an authentically born-again Christian, all they do is string them along, that is you, unintentionally, in ignorance of the things of God. And or maybe they just don't know, but that they are stringing them along through medication which can eventually kill them. And so, but intentionally or not, they die in bondage. I mean, in truth, is anybody measuring the success of a psychologist throughout their career? How are those people doing after 10 or 15 years of being treated? But now, not so with us. We have the master's key. We have the answer. We have been given the power over everything, the same power that God created everything with. Now we have it in the palm of our hands. Now that might make you just a bit nervous, and but so much so that you never tap into it, lest you become disqualified due to misplaced fear. So if you haven't wondered or mentally asked, where is Ken going with this? Allow me. What I'm trying to say is that if you understand what I've already said, you will not put yourself under the thumb of anybody, no how and no way. You will understand that there is a time to fight, a time to love, and a time to hate. Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. You must understand that you do not have to place yourself under demonic influence whatsoever. Now there are ways and processes that we are supposed to use to handle them, so that we do not violate the mandate to love our enemies. And well, that is that we pray for them. We serve them. We love other Christians. And well, we may not like or love them, like we love God, as we do so with him, with all of our heart, strength, soul, and mind completely and totally. Luke 10:27. We spend our time getting to know him, obeying him, step by step. We set aside what we do or don't want to do, and do what he wants us to do, and this power that I have talked about extensively places us in a position where we are under the thumb of no one. Oh, you see, you can pray and the mountain will jump into the sea, and nobody can do that unless they are born again. Matthew 17:20. What problem is bigger than a mountain? Heavier than a mountain? More hard or difficult than a mountain? More solid, more rooted than a mountain? It cannot be simply cast into the sea with prayer and an amen. And yet I tell you, you're walking in that power to do this specifically. As you walk in humility, you have that power. As you walk in spiritual maturity, you have that power. As you walk in him, with him, hearing him, seeing him, and ultimately knowing him, you walk in that power. Now it is important that you use that power the way he says to use that power. And as you do, you will stay out of trouble. And you will become the answer that the world is looking for. No, not to everybody, as not everybody knows that they are God dumb. But to those and to whom those God is called, predestined, elected, or election, and the seed of God. It is them that will respond to your gospel, as long as it has power behind it. Otherwise it's lame. It's like going duck hunting without any shells. All of its powerlessness is religion. Dry, dead, putrid religion. So much so that Jesus says to the lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Revelation 3:14-20. Now who do you think the lukewarm are? The non-believers? Nope. How can you be a non-believer and be lukewarm about anything that has anything to do with or about God? You see, you are not interested in God if you are an unbeliever. Lukewarm is about people who actually believe in God, but live a life not knowing or fully understanding what's coming, or even the times that we are in. They are not operating in the power that God gave them. They are not operating in their strengths and the talents that God gave them. They are not fully committed to God because they are not being equipped for the work of ministry or operating in a ministry. Nope, they are lukewarm. They talk about Jesus. They might even get people actually saved in their dry words, but they themselves will go flying away to that dry place. I'm not trying to be mean or insensitive to the non-believer. I was one. I know what it is like. I'm not trying to be mean or insensitive to the backslider, or to the person that knew God and now doesn't want to know God, because I know what that's like. I've been there and done that on both fronts. What I'm talking about, or to whom I am talking to, is to the person that returns or never left, who is operating in the power of God, that they live a life like a doormat, thinking that that's what God called them to do. Jesus did all that because he had a purpose to do that, but he had to show us his purpose, which was fulfilled on the cross. Do you think that King David was a doormat for anybody? How about Solomon? Any of the prophets, doormats? Did any of them wear a shirt that had the logo of a doormat on it? No, none of them were doormats. Not like the ones we see today that are all over the place. Now, I'm not talking about resisting people and becoming hateful or resentful. That's not what I'm talking about. Now, in my mind, there are two reasons people are doormats. One is that they want something, so they allow people to run all over them so that they would get what they ultimately want, be it money, power, position, or any and all the things that were no longer to be attached to. Mark 4:19 and 1 John 2:15. Now, but I speak to the other group that doesn't understand that they are actually being a doormat. They don't have to be. And if you can cast out a demon, why should you allow someone that intends to use you like a doormat to do so? Now, you need to understand that the difference between hatred and love and serving. You need to understand things like the fact that Jesus didn't stop for everybody who had needs. If you'll notice, he was walking along the road, and blind Bartimaeus had to call out for him. He called out for him alone, even though there were other blind people with him. Because like hangs out with like, right? It's a principle that is in play all over the world. You want to know what you look like? Look at the people you hang out with. That's what you're like. No matter what you say, you're like them. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Anyway, blind Bartimaeus reached out and called to Jesus as Jesus was walking by. And so, but why didn't Jesus stop and heal all of them? He's looking for a response, a pulling on his anointing. I taught in an earlier message that the Father did not chase down the prodigal son. In fact, he equipped him to sin. No, he didn't desire that he would sin, but he did equip him to sin, because even knowing why his son wanted the inheritance early, he still gave it to him. Mick Jagger had it right, singing in a song lyric, "You don't need to be under a thumb." And what's terribly funny is that the world knows this, and they fight against it all the time. No thumb under for me, thanks. I suspect that many times they or we define a thumb as government rules, policy, regulation, taxes, or in fact you can apply any name to the thumb that you want. Regardless of what you call it, we don't have to be under it. And when we submit to God, we submit to righteousness. We are not putting ourselves under the thumb of God, but becoming slaves of righteousness. Romans 6:18. Now that doesn't mean we don't pay our taxes, or we don't follow the rules, the policy, or regulations. It's not what I'm saying. Remember, if you want to run for him, he will give you the shoes. We are positioning ourselves to be worthy of the living in the kingdom of God forever by manifesting God's characteristics, his love towards one another in order to demonstrate that God is everything he says he is, and that through our life we are to look like Jesus, even if we look like us at the same time. Now, some parts of this message I'm leaving without explanation or further explanation, because I'd like you to work it out yourself. You have to define or figure out where it is in your life that you allow yourself to be placed under someone's thumb, which is really another way of staying in captivity to another person's way instead of God's way. You need to find out what that is so that you can get yourself out from under that. You have the power of God, the Holy Spirit, so you are without excuse. You have no reason to be under it. Let's take a look, and then we will be finished. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? 2 Corinthians 3:19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. 1 Corinthians 1:25-29. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. that no flesh should glory in his presence. You see, you have enough of God to stay out from under someone else's thumb. It is not any form of humility to let those who do not know him to abuse you, unless God is in it. So, but now this is one of my first messages that I'm not explaining everything that I've said. And I think I'm doing it because I think the Lord is doing it. I don't even fully understand everything that's in here. And I'm not connecting everything so that the whole thing flows and makes sense. But I think that there's stuff in here for several people groups, and I hope that it helps. Well, that's it for today. Remember, it's not what you find wrong or disagree with regarding these messages, but what you can take away from it.
Together we can impact the kingdom than if we work alone.
Let's flip the script and kill, steal, and destroy the works of the enemy and create space for the light of life to shine through into people's lives. Plant a seed and click on the like and subscribe button. Let's build this ministry together. Thanks and see you next time in Deep Waters.